Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Shift Spotlight Podcast. Today, we are here with Barry Cohen, and she is the owner and founder of Barry Cohen Public Relations. So welcome to the show, Barry.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So we all know what public relations is, but before we start talking about what you do and how you do it, let's start out with an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
I am a scuba diver. Very unrelated to PR.
Yeah, well, and we do need things outside of work. So where was the craziest place you've ever scuba dived?
My husband and I did the Maldives last year, which was like an unbelievable experience. Highly recommend for anybody.
How long was that flight though?
Oh my God, it was like 30 plus hours.
Oh yeah.
Like three planes, four planes, 30 hours. Like that it was rough, but worth it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, so like I said, we kind of all know what public relations is, but I think there's a lot that people don't know about public relations. I actually studied that at Florida State, and I got into it because I thought it was parties and people, but it's really 90% writing, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So why don't you talk to us about what you do for your clients and how you do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the public reception is like, we're all like Samantha on Sex and the City, making people famous, going out and having fun, which happens occasionally, but most of us are sitting behind a computer, sending lots of emails, doing a lot of writing. And so what my firm specializes in is media relations. So anything from a public facing perspective where a client, a brand, a company, or an individual might be putting their story out to the general public or to their target audience. And that could be anything from podcasts to broadcast news, newspapers, magazines. We help facilitate those stories. We help them tell their story because we often find that all of our clients are doing amazing work. They just don't know how to tell it in a way that resonates with their audience. And so we really try to get their message and their story out there in a way that makes an impact.
And so what are some of the best mediums for that now? Because I know when I got started, we were like actually printing press releases and stuffing them in an envelope to get them out, right? Like this was like before things got very tech savvy. But I know the world has changed in how the message gets received. So of course, it's going to be very brand dependent and all of that. But what are you seeing out there now in terms of like the best ways companies can get exposure for themselves?
Yeah, so there's been this shift, right, from press releases, which was pretty much the standard. And now we rarely use them. Where they're more of a formality or just a need to have if a business has an opening or is bringing on a CEO or something like that. But that's not really a strategy because, as we know, people don't read that much today, right? They're not going to read a page or two to get the information. They want to get it very quick. And so the goal is really for our clients to either comment on something that's trending, that's related to their industry, putting them in a position where it's more of a feature where they can really talk about their services and what they do and bridge that connection, I think, between their industry or their service or something that they're doing that might be kind of complicated or convoluted to the general public so that they understand it, right? Like some of us might know about healthcare at a very basic level. We work with a lot of physicians and healthcare individuals, and some of those topics are complicated. And so the goal is really for them to talk about them in a way that resonates with people that they understand at a level that makes them want to either go to them or see them or support them. And so it's beyond just the press release. I think utilizing things like video and the digital space today, we've seen that big shift from traditional media, which is still valuable, dependent, like you said, on the goals and that client or industry, But there's so much in the digital space, from videos to podcasts to blogs, that I think just have much more traction and success today than we've seen in other areas.
Right. And so why does an owner need public relations? Because I think a lot of people, they kind of mix public relations with marketing, and it's very different. Why do they need PR?
Absolutely. Everybody needs PR, I will say, simply because I think, like you mentioned, with marketing, there's a lot of things that can be done from an instant gratification standpoint, right? We can post on social media, we can see the likes, we can buy an ad and we can convert that. All of those things, while they're helpful, can be a little surface level. And so I think where public relation comes in, it gets to the deeper part of who a person is. And I think it can be the differentiating factor for businesses who might be in a saturated market, or there might be, you know, we've seen 5 plastic surgeons on the street and they're all doing very similar procedures or treatments. But if one has a connection to the community, or they're doing philanthropic work, or they have a new technique, that's the thing that we want to push that sets you apart. And that's the thing that's going to drive credibility and legitimacy for your business. And I think that's what people want today, because there's so much information out there. There's so many people on a street who are doing the same things. And so how do you choose? Right. And I know for me, like, if I saw someone who was speaking about their work or had won awards or were doing or speaking at conferences or were doing things that, you know, sets them apart, I think I would gravitate toward that person naturally. So I think it sort of gives you a leg up in your business that you might not have otherwise.
And they say people do business with people they like. And I think the thing about PR is, you know, okay, so curious, is all press good press?
Say no. I think you can really, get in trouble sometimes. You know, we don't do crisis communications simply because I like to say I like happy PR. I don't want to be in the space of having to put out fires all the time. And there are fires we have to put out that just happen naturally. But I think people today really need to be careful about the things they're saying and putting out there. And I don't necessarily think all PR is good PR if it's not meeting your goals. And everybody's goals are different, right? Some people just want to be out there and be famous, quote unquote. That's not really the people that I want to work with. I want to work with people who want to grow their business and get more leads and become a thought leader and a subject matter expert. So I think it's a lot about what you're trying to get out of it and you want to get out of it. And you have to be careful, I think, putting yourself in positions where you can be really vulnerable today.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so shifting gears a little bit, tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming, you know, a founder and a CEO of your company.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit unconventional. I started in PR, working for a family friend for a small boutique PR firm outside of Philadelphia. I'm from the East Coast originally. That was really my first introduction to PR. I had no idea what it was. Didn't know it was something that I was going to get into. Worked my way up in that company. I left that job for another company in Philly. Left after 3 months. It was a toxic work environment. And I woke up one day and quit my job. And then said the next day, I'll start a business. Literally very green in PR, super, super green in business. Had no idea what I was doing. But I really felt like I could do the work and be kind to people and do it in a way that I felt good about. And I wanted to choose the people I wanted to work with and be passionate about the work I was doing. And so I just went to everybody I knew, family, friends, previous clients, people in my circle. My first two clients were my dad's two best friends. And I was willing to do PR for little to no money, just to learn. I was like, I'll do whatever you want so I can learn how to do this. I don't care. I'll take no money. Let me just practice. And it sort of took off in a way that I didn't expect. And we started to get clients and I was like, oh my God, there's something here. And moved the business multiple times from Philly to Colorado and back east and then back to Colorado. And during COVID, when everybody was starting to sort of shutter their businesses, especially being in the hospitality space and PR, being in healthcare, which was a natural space that I wanted to be in, we took off. And so that was really the growing point of the business. And now there's five of us total, remote, all across the country and internationally.
Amazing. So, you know, we screw up when we start these businesses, especially when we do it in the way that you've done it, because, you know, you just, okay, we're going to do it. Right? So we can talk, you know, hours about all of the mistakes. Yes. But I want to know something that you did right that in hindsight you can look back and say, you know, I hit that. I nailed that.
Yeah, that's such a great question because we can focus on all the things. I can give you like a laundry list of all things I did wrong. I think for me, it was as we grew, I think I naturally realized that the way I had set up my business model was really more conducive to contractors than full time. And it was something that I did without really knowing that that was how I wanted to structure the business. Because I think, you know, so many people tell you grow and then you hire an employee and you hire the next one, right? There's like a very traditional path in business that works for a lot of people. And I think because I wanted so much flexibility in my work life, it felt really natural to bring on other individuals who wanted that as well. And I think that was an unconscious decision that has really helped me grow and has been really successful for the business without even realizing it.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
So as you've grown, give me a big challenge that you faced as a leader and what you did to overcome that challenge.
I think because it was just me for like 6 years of the business. And so while it was great to bring on people, I think I have a control issue. I can very well say that. I think a lot of us do in PR, you know, we know how to do the work and we want to do it the way we want to do it. And I think relinquishing control and trusting in people was really hard for me. I don't know if there's one thing that I did to make me get to the point where I felt better about it. I think it was more of I was burnt out and I didn't have a choice. It got to the point where I was doing everything and it was really affecting me in all areas of my life. And it was more of a like do or die situation of like you have to step back and you have to focus on the things you want to. And it's not going to be you. You can't clone yourself. The work is never going to look like you, but it's going to be just as good or better. And you have to just like accept it and step away. And I don't suggest getting to that point because that is not fun. And that's really hard. And I think it's something that I still struggle with and I still try to manage, but I'm also really grateful that I have people who want to help me.
Well, and I will say too, this is one of the top things that, you know, GCE Strategic Consulting, the sponsor of the podcast, you know, they're fractional, they provide fractional executive services. And it's the number one thing that people reach out to them for. And they typically reach out when they are completely charred, not just a little burnt, but completely charred. And you kind of have to get in front of it. And there isn't going to be a single, I don't know, any CEO, visionary, founder, anybody who's not a control freak.
Yeah.
But I think like one of the things that somebody said to me, one of my coaches back in the day was just how out of control do you have to be in control all the time? Yeah. And that just stuck, you know, because it's like, wow, I'm really out of control when I'm trying to control everything. Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, you suffer, your work suffers, and you don't realize it because you're so wrapped up in it. And I think you have this mentality sometimes, like I'm the only one that can do this.
And well, I'll do it better.
I'll do it better.
That's often not true. That's often very not true.
I agree. And it's so hard to see that when you're in it. And so like, I have a coach as well. And to have somebody on the outside be like, you need to chill out. Like you do not need to be the one doing all this. And you have people around you who can do the work and do it better. Like we sometimes need that harsh reality because it's so hard to see it when you're deep in all of it.
Yeah. 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 I get it. So tell us about the things that are impacting your industry right now. They could be positive or negative.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing we've seen, especially when it comes to traditional media and newsrooms is cuts, right? We've seen that in the last 2-3 years. And it's really hard when I think so much of PR is built on relationships. And so many of us could say, you know, years ago, I have all these great relationships. I can call reporters and journalists. That's not the case anymore. That doesn't hold any weight. So many people that I used to work with no longer work at any of these news outlets anymore. And so I think there's an added challenge and level of due diligence that we have to do that makes things a little slower and takes more time. In the long run, it's more beneficial, but I think we're really up against figuring out who the right people are now that we need to pitch our stories to, and that requires a little bit more work. And we've all sort of seen that in all different types of PRs that we're running up against that. And that's challenging. But I think on the other hand, having these other digital outlets, we do a lot in the podcast space. We get our clients on as guests on lots of podcasts. And that's also given us a new opportunity where it really wasn't as popular a few years ago. And so we sort of shifted when we saw all these changes in traditional media. I was like, we just can't get stories like we used to. It's taking longer. We're just not hitting the same way. And so we had to sort of shift and look at these other avenues. And so I think it's that balance. And I think we've seen both of those things that make our job a little bit harder, but also force us to be better at the job too.
And I think what a lot of people don't realize, and this is something we do on our podcast, but you know, you can actually take the bites that are said on the podcast and you can literally turn that into your PR. You know, you can create hundreds of reels and hundreds of memes. And, you know, when we're talking generally, and I often find it's much better PR than when you try to sit down and do some sort of piece on somebody, because people just naturally flow better and they get all these great one-liners coming out of their mouth. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got a month's, years, 2 years worth of content from a 30-minute podcast.
Absolutely. And I think that's the piece is we try to talk about is that content building piece, right? And you have so much of it. So it's not just great. We got this podcast interview. It's like, what happens after? Look at all the things that we can do that are yours forever, right? You can use this clip 20 times. Right. And if that's the thing that's bringing in business, and I think that's the piece that people aren't talking about, or the value of podcasts. And I'm just super passionate about it because I've seen it work, and we can track it, and we can see ROI in a way that is so different too. And you get in front of the people who really need you because it's so specific. I mean, there's, you know, there's podcasts about everything. And so if you're in a very specific niche business, I guarantee you there's definitely podcasts about what you do. And so you can really get in front of people in a way that I think allows you to be authentic and vulnerable, and people get who you are, where other forms of media, you might have to be a little more restrictive, right? You can't say certain things on TV and we can't say certain things in the press, but you can be totally you on a podcast in a lot of ways that I think really makes people connect with you in a different way.
Well, I don't want to brag or anything.
You should.
I'm going to toot my own horn here. So I think we're at like 120 episodes. And I heard that less than 5% of podcasts hit 100 episodes. And when we put who should you listen to about business and ChatGPT, the Shift Spotlight beats Joe Rogan.
Congratulations. Someone needs to beat him. Come on. I love that.
I mean, we don't have nearly as many followers, but hey, we beat Joe Rogan. I'll take chat. So.
Hey, you should take it. That is a pretty big accolade.
So where is the future of your company going? Are you looking to grow? Are you, you know, one thing a lot of people don't realize, and we, a lot of listeners of the show, not everybody's in growth phase. A lot of people want to be just have more quality of life or more balance. But like, where are you in your personal founder journey?
Yeah, it's funny because I've been thinking about this so much because I think for so long, it was just trying to keep this thing afloat, right? And that's a very real thing for so many of us founders in different industries. And it really wasn't up until the last 2 years that I was like, I really want to grow this. And so it's been a slower growth journey for me because I don't think I realized that's what I really wanted. When I started the business, I thought it would just be me forever and some little thing that I did and that it would be my own. And it naturally grew. And now I have this team and it's become something bigger than I really ever intended in a great way. Yeah. And I really do feel like we're sort of on the cusp of really taking it to a next level. Not sure what that looks like always. Every day it sort of changes, but I really do think that the work we're doing has really impacted our clients. And I see it. I mean, we've had clients with who are 5-6 years in with us now, which is also a very hard thing in PR, is to keep clients long-term because of the work we do. And so I just feel like I want to take it as far as I possibly can. And I want to grow it. And I think we have the potential and be in other markets. We've worked internationally. I'd love to continue to do that. Like there's definitely geographic locations and more industries and current industries that I want to be in. And I also really want to continue to grow as a leader, because I think that's a new, being a boss has been a new role for me too in the last few years. And, you know, I'm just sort of getting my feet wet in that area too. And so I just feel like we're taking it to the next level, wherever that goes.
Well, and I think they say that, don't quote me on this statistic, but I think it's like less than 2% of the population are natural born leaders. Like, mm-hmm. I will tell you, I'm like a super duper boss lady, but I am not a great leader. And I choose, so, you know, I choose to work with people underneath me that are self-starters, because it's just like, not my DNA, right? But like my husband, Ken, is like a phenomenal leader, and he loves it and he excels at it. And, you know, so it's the, I believe that leaders is a learned skill.
Yeah.
It's just not, it doesn't come naturally for most people. So, you're not alone there. And there's a lot of questions for me too. Like a lot of people are like, I don't even want to do it. Hire a fractional integrator to do it for me.
So, which I, some days I'm like, that sounds wonderful. I totally understand. And yeah, I think it's a weird but wonderful place to be in. And I think there's a lot of moments of doubt. I think every other day I'm like, am I good at this? Am I doing this right? Do they have what they need? Am I a terrible leader? Am I a terrible boss? Am I a great boss? Right. It's like, I'm constantly thinking about it. And I think that's really positive, actually. Like I'm constantly thinking about, am I doing this right? Do they have what they need? And I think that's like all you can do. And then figure out the steps and like put plans in place and systems and processes and all those things that you need. But I think it's good to question. I mean, I constantly do. My husband would say there's a lot of times I'm crying in my closet saying, am I doing this right? Should I do this? Should I just get a job? This business is hard. And then the next week I'm like, I freaking love this. Never want to give this up. And that's, I think that's just the natural ebb and flow of being an entrepreneur and a founder.
That is. So as we wrap this up, if you had to do it over, all again, speaking to a younger or less experienced self, what would your advice be?
I would absolutely do it. I would definitely be mindful of having a plan, putting things in place early on. It's really hard to do it down the line. It's not impossible, but it is really hard when you don't have systems and processes in place, and then you bring people on and they're looking to you for guidance, and you know, you're scrambling for SOPs and trying to figure these things out. And so I would have liked to have a clear-cut plan of how I was going to do this early on. You know, throwing things at the wall is great, and I've managed to figure it out. But I think if I had a direction, maybe things would have been easier down the line.
Yeah, agreed. And so if somebody listening wanted to take the next step and learn more about what you do or takes the next step with you, what should they do?
So they can find us on our website, bcpublicrelations.com. They can find me on LinkedIn or reach out to me directly by email. It's barry@barrycohen.com. I'm always happy to chat and talk anything PR.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.